Hey guys, welcome to Double the T Podcast. I'm your host, Megan, and I am one of the MB twins. You guys are probably wondering why I'm here by myself today. It feels really weird. I'm sure it feels weird for you guys. But today is a very special episode because today is a day that I share a story with you guys that it was the hardest time of my life, and it felt appropriate to just share it one-on-one with you guys. We so appreciate you guys for listening. I think this is the halfway point, like half of a year for us, and we just feel so thankful and grateful for our audience and the people that have listened to us thus far. And you know, honestly, we really have just always wanted this podcast to feel like a breath of fresh air for you guys. And I hope that we've been that. But at the same time, you know, we've had moments of vulnerability and deep honesty. And, you know, we've cried on here and been very emotional about different topics. Because although we want this to feel lighthearted and fun, we also want to make sure that we're being honest and true. And that is this story today. So I want to say, first of all, just thank you guys for being here today, and let's dive in. So I'm going to bring you guys back about 6 years ago at Thanksgiving season, the holiday season. And Thanksgiving has always been my favorite time of year. It's always been my favorite holiday. I love it. And 6 years ago of, you know, I guess November of 2018, Thanksgiving Day was the hardest day of my life. But I think I need to bring you guys a couple months prior to that. Beginning of October is really where this story begins. So October of 2018, I am single. I'm doing really well in my career. I'm at Body by Hannah training and I'm loving it. And I really feel like I'm making a positive impact, and I have such a wonderful church and community there that I'm really invested in. I have amazing friends and family, and all of my life at this point just felt really good. Honestly, I remember sitting back then and just like taking time to like think about my life, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy with where I'm at. And I was just so happy with my life. Now, I was single and I wanted a partner, but I also just felt really content at the time. I was like, you know, I don't need anybody. I'm very happy with the way my life is going right now. But at the same time, I was open to finding somebody, but I was at a point in my life where I was like, you know, this person is going to have to add value to my life because things are great. And if I'm going to add somebody into my life, then they're going to have to add to my life and not take away from it in the same way that I would want to be that for them, right? But I just at this point wasn't looking for a relationship just to have a relationship or just somebody to text and not feel lonely. It was like I wanted somebody that was just going to create value in my life and help me be a better person and vice versa. So although I was not looking, I was open, and I had been on a couple of dates that were, I guess not blind dates, because I like had talked to them, interacted with them online, but I never met them in person. But these two dates that I'm referring to, they were just so bad, like so bad. One of them I shared with you guys, and it was, I think, our horror first date episode. Like that was the story of this one of the dates that I went on, and it was awful. And then the next one was, it wasn't like terrible, but it was just, there was no chemistry. And I remember telling Sarianne, I was like, Sarianne, I just feel like I'm good on this dating thing. Like I'm really happy. So I just feel like I don't need to mess things up right now. And so again, beginning of October, me and some friends were going to go rock climbing. Well, actually, I'm sorry. Let's back up a little bit further than that. So I'd gone on these dates, whatever, told Sarianne I wasn't interested in dating, whatever. But I was on Facebook one day, and I see this guy on my suggested friends on Facebook, And we had mutual friends on Facebook, and I guess that's why he popped up as my suggested friend. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, like, that guy is so beautiful. Like, he is so hot. So I added him, and not thinking anything was going to come of it, but I was just like, kind of shoot my shot. Not really, but I was like, I'm going to add this guy and see, you know, whatever. But again, not expecting much. But a couple days later, I get a message from this guy, and he like immediately asks me on a date. And of course I accept, right? And so we're messaging back and forth. We had planned to go on a date like that next weekend. And, we had been messaging back and forth up until the date, and he just really seemed great. Like, over, messaging, he was talking about his small group and his church that he went to, and just like how involved he was with that. And of course, y'all know that's very important to me. And there were just other things that we connected on, like working out and just like our relationship with our family and friend, blah, blah, blah. It was just like a lot of things were lining up. So I was getting more excited for the date, but also my expectation was very low because of my dates prior, right? So I, that next weekend, I had planned to go rock climbing with some friends. And then right after that date, I was going to change really quick at the rock climbing gym and go on this date. And I remember telling Sarah Ann, because Sarah Ann came rock climbing, and she was like, yeah, I thought you weren't going to go on any more dates. And I just remember telling her, yeah, but like, I don't know, this guy's like really cute. Like, we'll see. Like, we'll see where it goes, right? And, but again, my expectation was very low because of my dates that I had just been on. So I remember going rock climbing and just hopping in the shower there. I brought some clothes to change into, and I hopped in the shower just like kind of rinse off at the rock climbing gym in Chattanooga. And I forgot my razor, and like, because I like normally shave like my armpits and my legs every day. And I remember I forgot my razor, and I thought to myself, whatever, like this is probably not going to go anywhere. It's not that big of a deal. So anyways, change, get ready for the day, whatever, meet at the movie theater downtown. And I remember parking in that parking lot, and out behind this black F-150 comes this man, and he is so beautiful. And I'm literally, guys, my very first thought when I saw this man, I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I would have shaved my armpits. Like, that was my first thought, was I wish I had shaved my armpits. Cause it was just like, oh, this guy is so stunning and beautiful. And he seems to have a great personality over messaging. So, you know, I was really excited. So I guess this is probably the point where I should tell you guys that that man that walked out from behind that F-150 that day is now my husband. It is Josh. And, so me and Josh, we went to a restaurant. He told me I could pick wherever, and I just said Panera Bread. So we went to Panera Bread, and we had just met. Like, we had just talked over Facebook for not even a week, and this was our first time meeting. But that first date, we really just kind of laid it all out there. We laid out, you know, things of our past, you know, trials and things that we've gone through, what's really important to us, our priorities when it comes to a relationship. And we just honestly were really open and honest with each other in that very first date. And Josh was very open with me about some things that he had gone through. And I was with him. And there was, at this point in my life, there was two topics that I felt like I needed to share earlier in the dating process, because these were topics that had been kind of deal breakers in previous relationships. And so I felt like I needed to be fair to really all the guys at this point that I was going on dates with, and being open about these things. So the first thing was that I have never drank alcohol before, and that's something that is very important to me to continue. Like, I'm never going to drink alcohol in my life. And I know that may seem like why is that a deal breaker? But I mean, it is. Like, I'm never going to be like that party scene. I'm never going to want to go out and stay out late. Like, that's just not me. That's not my personality. But I understand some people enjoy that, and that's fine. And so I just said, you know, basically, if that's something that you're really wanting in a relationship, then that's fine. I just am not the girl for you. And then the second thing was, which of course he was fine with that, but The second thing, and a little bit more important, is that I was a virgin, and my virginity was very important to me, and I felt like I needed to share that early in a relationship and say, like, listen, I understand if that's something that you feel like you can't wait, because that's something that I, first of all, my virginity was very precious to me, and it was something that I really believed in because of my faith, you know, as a Christian. That's what the Bible says. I believe in what the Bible says, period. Every line of what the Bible says, I believe is true, either whether I like it or not. And I think that's something that's very clear in scripture. And so that was something that was a big conviction of my life, to remain a virgin and save my virginity for marriage. And it was also something outside of just my beliefs, but it was something that I really wanted to just give to one person. I felt like, what better gift could I give a man than him knowing that he's the only one that's ever experienced me in that way? And that's just something that I always wanted to give to my husband. So I felt like I had to share that early on in a relationship and say, basically, listen, like, you know, this is what I believe is right for my life. And if that's something that you can't live with or you can't wait for, I understand. Totally fine. I just, again, am not the girl for you. And so Josh was immediately very accepting and appreciative and really liked that about me, which was sweet and special. And so, I mean, he was like, those are definitely not deal breakers, you know, which was great. And so I immediately felt kind of at ease in that way. So yeah, we had our date and it was great. And the next day, the very next day, like, we stayed out really late that night, but the next day he came to Cleveland and came to church with me and met my church family, like, literally second date, meeting all of the people that I love at church. And then we would go and work out together. And I mean, it was just, I can say that I was just immediately like head over heels for him. I was just like obsessed with him immediately. And I don't think I've ever also felt just that type of physical attraction. Like, I just was like, this man is so beautiful. And if any of you guys have seen my husband, he is a pretty man. And let me tell you, he's so much more than his looks, I promise. But those help. I'm just saying, he is pretty. So anyways, so we're dating, everything's going great. I'm just in like love land, right? And it's funny because I do remember 6 years ago thinking, everything in my life is pretty perfect. And I remember thinking, something's coming. And of course, I just tried to like not really think about that, but it was almost just like, it's too good, right? Like, where you're like waiting for the shoe to drop, right? So I mentioned to you guys how precious my virginity was to me. And at this point, I'm 24 years old and I've maintained that. I've been in many relationships, and relationships with men that I felt like I loved. And all this to say is I was in the position where I could have given up my virginity. You know, like, I, you know, been in moments with guys where it could have escalated and gone there. But I was always very committed, and it was never hard for me to say no. Like, even though, like, you know, sometimes when you get in those moments, it's easy to just like get swept away, but I was always very easily able to say no and like stay grounded in that. Which was great, but it also left me, I think, with a false sense of myself and my, I don't want to say boundaries, but like, it gave me a false sense of like, it was almost like, that'll never happen, Megan. Like, you're fine. You know, you don't even have to worry about that, because like, look at your history. You've proven that you're not going to go there, right? Like, you don't even have to worry about it. You're always going to say no in any situation, right? But the thing that I hadn't factored in was, I had never been in that position with somebody that I was like, this is my husband. Like, I knew Josh. I mean, I knew immediately, honestly, that Josh was the man I was gonna spend the rest of my life with. Like, I just knew immediately when I met him. And so the thing that was different here is that I had never been in that position with a man I felt that deeply towards. And so this is a lesson to any of you guys that, you know, maybe you're struggling in that way. I just want to say that you need to create very, very strong boundaries no matter who the person is. And Josh was somebody that very much respected my boundaries and respected that I was a virgin and loved that about me. But, you know, when you have two people that feel very passionate about each other and really love each other and are swept away with your feelings, it's really easy to cross that line in a blink of an eye. It's like you don't even know how you got there, right? So all that to say, one day, me and Josh got to that point, and I lost my virginity to him prior to being married to him. And Josh was, I just want to be clear. Had I said no or had any, like, Josh would have been so respectful of me. I think it was a moment where we both got swept away, right? And again, that was our own fault for not setting up other boundaries beforehand. Because again, I didn't think I needed to, but I did. So I lost my virginity to Josh, and this is like such a weird thing, like going back to that time and feeling these feelings. But I remember after that happened, I felt guilt, not because of the person it was with, because I knew that in a way I knew I was giving it to my husband, but he still was not my husband yet, you know? And so I did feel guilt in that I knew that that is not what I believed in terms of my faith. And so I felt conviction about that, and I felt guilt. But again, I never questioned who it was with. I knew I had given it to the right person. It just wasn't the right time. It wasn't the time that, you know, is ordained by God. So I felt guilt about it. So a couple weeks go by, and I just remember feeling something was off in my body. At this point, I hadn't had, like, I wasn't feeling tired, I wasn't feeling nauseous, I wasn't feeling sick, I wasn't feeling any of those feelings, because it had only been a couple of weeks. But I just remember feeling like, and obviously I'm a trainer, so I'm very in tune with my body, and I just could tell something was off. And of course, paranoia, you know. And so I called Josh and was just like, Josh, like, I think I may be pregnant. Like, I, you know, I need to take a test. And Josh was like, he was like, Megan, oh my gosh, like, you're not pregnant. But like, if you want to take a test, like, I can come get a test and bring you a test. We can do that. A little bit of context, because I had been a virgin and I had never struggled with like problems with my period or anything, I had never been on birth control before. So because again, I didn't feel like I needed to do that yet. I figured at one point in my marriage, like, obviously I would need to do that, but at this point I didn't need to do that. So there were precautions took, but there weren't all the precautions, is all I will say. But so Josh came over and he gave me a test, and I took the test and came back negative, right? So you're not pregnant. And Josh was like, see, I told you. Like, he was like, you're just kind of paranoid, like, you're not pregnant. And so momentarily that gave me some relief. But that relief was not for very long, because again, a few days later, I just kept feeling this feeling like something is not right in my body. And so I remember the day, it was actually the day before Thanksgiving. I told Josh, like, Josh, I need to take another test. And of course, at this point, he is very assured that I'm not pregnant. You know, I had just taken a test a few days prior. It said negative. And so he was like, Megan, you are not pregnant. But like, if you want to take another test, that's fine. I'll go get one. So it was the night before Thanksgiving. So I had gotten off of work that night at 9 p.m. I was still training till 9 p.m. In that time. And I came home, met Josh at my house, and I was still going to work the next morning. I had to work really early. I always work Thanksgiving. And I think I had to be at work at like 6 o'clock in the morning. So it was already after 9 p.m. I'm eating dinner and Josh comes over, brings this test, and I go in the bathroom and I take the test, and then I sit down and I'm eating my dinner, and I could remember my exact meal that I'm eating. And it's a meal that I have not touched since. It's just, I can't even think about that meal anymore. But, I was eating my food and Josh goes in the bathroom like right after they take the test. I can't remember if he was throwing something away or something like that. And when he was in the bathroom, I mean, it was right after I took it. He went in the bathroom and he saw that the test had already said positive. Like it was already saying positive. We hadn't even waited the time period you're supposed to wait. It already said positive. And so Josh sees that, he comes out. But of course, I'm thinking it's not showing anything yet. So I don't think anything of him going to the bathroom really quick. I'm sitting there, I'm eating, and Josh is like, okay, Megan, like, let's just say, what if you're pregnant? You know, what are you going to do? And I was like, Josh, I need you to please stop. Like, I can't even think about that right now. Please stop. And again, guys, like, although I felt like something was off in my body, I was just like, there's no freaking way. Like, this isn't happening. This isn't going to happen one time and I get pregnant. Like there's no way, right? Well, guys, all it takes is one time. But anyway, so Josh, although I'm like, am I pregnant? But I'm also just like, there's no freaking way that I'm pregnant, right? So anyways, Josh again, he's like, Megan, what if you're pregnant? Like, what are you going to do? And I was like, Josh, please stop. I'm not joking. I can't even think about that right now. Like, please stop. And Josh was like, Megan, because of course Josh knew that I was pregnant. He was like, Megan, I'm serious. Just what if, like, what if you are pregnant? What are you going to do? And I was like, I don't know, Josh. Like, I don't know. We'll just figure it out. We'll figure it out. So at this point, about 3 minutes had passed or however long the timing was. And Josh was like, okay, Megan, well, I think it's time. So he goes in the bathroom and he brings me the test. And I remember he just points it into my face, just like holds it up into my face. And it says positive. And yeah, I mean, I really can't describe the feeling I had at that point. I mean, it was honestly kind of like an out-of-body experience. Like, this isn't happening. This isn't happening. You know, I had just met Josh, like, not even 2 months prior to this, guys. I was like, this is not happening. And, of course, my first reaction was, we have to take another test. We have to take another test. Hoping that I would have a false positive. So we get in his truck, go to the store, get another test, go back to my house, take the test, positive again. And at this point, when I get that second positive pregnancy test, I look at Josh and I was like, we got to go home. We got to go home. And it's funny because he's been so like, you know, resolute the whole time. Like, and he was like, at that point, he was like, wait, what? Like, that was what freaked him out. Not that I was pregnant, but then like, hey, we're going to need to go tell my parents immediately. Which I'm sure that was a scary thing. Obviously, he's known my family for less than 2 months and we're going home to tell him that we're pregnant. But poor Josh. But before we left, I said to Josh, and this is where, guys, like I'm sharing things that I'm very ashamed of, in terms of like I had feelings at that point that I'm now very ashamed, and I'm so sad that I felt that way, especially having what I have now and knowing what I know now. I feel guilty that I had the feelings that I did at this point, but I'm just going to be honest with you guys about how I was feeling, even if I am ashamed of them. But so I look at Josh, and although I would have never done anything to stop the pregnancy, because that's not what I believe in, I'm very much pro-choice. I mean, I'm pro-life, but I'm also pro-choice in that I made a choice to have sex, knowing that that produces a baby, you know? So I did make a choice, and I made my choice. And, but at this point, I wouldn't have ever done anything to stop the pregnancy, but I did ask Josh. I said, you know, would you be open to adoption? Which, again, this is a thought that I'm embarrassed that I had, but at this point, and I don't even think I would have gone through with it. It was just like, at this point, I was just like, I just needed something to make me feel like I could get my life back. You know, I just needed some thought in this exact moment to make me like, you can get through this. Like, you're going to go back to your life before. Like, if we were to give this baby away from adoption, which I don't ever think I would have done, but yeah, for a second I entertained that, and I said, Josh, like, would you be open to adoption? And Josh looked at me and he said something I'll never forget. He said, no child of mine will ever be in the system. And my husband, who was going through the exact same thing I was going through at that time. Of course, he wasn't my husband at the point, but he stood up for Aria before I did. Like, he was the first person to stand up for my child and say, like, this is my child. I'm going to take care of my child. And that, honestly, I think that just really speaks to the person that my husband is. I've always described him like, he's like a pillar in the middle of the ocean, and the waves are going, they're, you know, crashing, and the storms are happening, and there's chaos, but Josh is that pillar in the ocean that is never moving. He is steadfast, and he's always been my rock. Like, he's always like, in the chaos of life and what's happening, he is constant. He's my constant, and he's my rock. And, you know, it's just one of the things I love so much about him. And that trait of his was so valuable and special in this moment, where he, stood up immediately and said, this is my child. I'm taking care of my child. So I was like, okay, we got to go home then. We got to go tell my parents. And so, of course, Josh was freaking out, right? But, and I was too, because, you know, I grew up in a conservative Christian family. And so very traditional, and so I knew that my parents would be, in my I knew that they would be disappointed, but I also knew they'd be there for me, and I just knew that I was in such a, like, dark place. I was like, I need my family. I know they're going to be disappointed, but I need my family. So we got in the car, and I call my twin. I call Sarah Ann, and I tell her she's already at my parents' house. She's going to stay the night that night, because, again, it's the night before Thanksgiving. My older sister is driving into Cleveland at this point, to my parents' house. She's never met Josh before, but she was driving into Cleveland, and I call Sarah Ann and I say, Sarah Ann, like, I need to tell you something. I'm pregnant and I need you to get mom and go bring her in my bedroom. Leave dad in the living room, but I want to tell mom first. So we get to my house and my dad is in the living room and I like leave Josh in there with my dad. And my dad was kind of like pacing a little bit. Like you could tell he was kind of like nervous and he was like, what's going on? What's going on? And I was just like, you know, you'll know in a minute. And so poor Josh, I left Josh in there with my dad, but my dad's an angel. So went back into the back room where my mom was and Sarah Ann was in there. And I walk in and my mom's head is just in between her hands and she's bent over in her lap. And I knew that she knew. And I just remember saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Not because, like, obviously, guys, like, a baby is beautiful, right? And that's so sweet and precious. But I recognized that my choice, my decision, and my actions, that they affect more than just me. And I remember thinking that in that moment when I was in there with my mom, I was like, I was saying sorry because I knew that I was changing the lives of my family. Like, and again, in not a bad way necessarily, but like, because this is such an exciting and like babies are wonderful, but I was changing a lot of people's lives. And I had made that choice. Nobody else made that choice. Like, I made that choice to change their lives for them. And that was what I was saying sorry for. Just knowing that I knew that this meant all of our lives were changed. And yes, in so many ways for the better, but also in a lot of ways, it was going to be really hard for a while, you know? So we bring my dad in there and we tell my dad and Josh and I tell my dad. And again, I know there's disappointment there, but they were just immediately like, my dad was like, Megan, it's okay. Like, we're going to get through this. It's okay. Yeah. Both my parents were just immediately said, like, Megan, we're gonna get through this. So right then my older sister comes in because she just got in town from Atlanta and she's like, hey, what's going on? And I was like, hey, Aaron, this is Josh, my boyfriend. And also I'm pregnant. And Aaron was just immediately like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you guys. And we sat in my room and we all sat in a circle and, you know, my parents prayed and, you know, that's what a family should be. A family should be, I'm not saying condoning things that you did that aren't right. I'm not, and they weren't condoning my actions. But they were there
you know, I've always been very grateful for my family, but that's definitely a moment in my life I'll never forget or I'll never take for granted, for sure. Because I know that a lot of other women in my position, that's not how they're received. So I'm so, so, so thankful for my family at that point in my life. So, told the family, we told Josh's family as well, and his family was equally as supportive and wonderful. And I'm so, so thankful for that, because again, I recognize that a lot of women in my position do not have that. And I don't know what I would have done without it. It would have been just so, so hard. And so I'm very, very thankful and grateful. But the next 9 months of my life were the hardest times of my life, the hardest days of my life. I mean, I immediately just went into a very deep depression. And because, guys, I didn't know if I even ever wanted to have kids ever. And then all of a sudden, I'm having a child. And I knew what that meant, guys. Like, and I'm going to be honest, like, I'm selfish. I knew, like, I wanted my life to be about me. Like, at that point, I was like, my life is going great. Like, I don't have to answer to anybody. Like, I have my boyfriend who's wonderful. And, like, we can just go right off into the sunset. And I just wanted my life to be about us and me. And I knew that having a baby changed that. I knew that when you have a child, your life is no longer about you anymore. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But that's also something I wasn't ready for. And I didn't know if I would ever be ready for that, to be honest. And so I was just very, very, I mean, I was depressed. I've never felt that way in my life. And, you know, the people around me in my life at that time, I'm sure they remember my clients that were there and stayed with me during that time. I'm so thankful for, because, you know, they stuck with me when I was a shell of who I was. It took everything inside of me to get up and go to work. And what I will say is I never missed work. I went to work every day. I also never missed a workout, just because my health is beyond any situation that I'm going through. But it took everything inside of me just to get out of bed and go to work. And yeah, my pregnancy was just, I just had a terrible pregnancy. I was sick. I was obviously extremely tired. I was vomiting. I had crazy food aversions. I mean, everything. And on top of that, I got something called SPD, symphysis pubis dysfunction, which is basically an injury to your pelvis that happens. It's caused from pregnancy. And it caused me to, I started feeling it about 4 weeks pregnant, and by 8 weeks pregnant, I could no longer run anymore, which was hard for me too, because running at this point was like a stress reliever. I needed something to relieve some stress, and my pregnancy was taking that too, because the pain got to be so excruciating that I couldn't run anymore. And by 30 weeks pregnant, actually, I couldn't walk anymore. So I would go into work, I would sit on a chair, and I would have to just explain every exercise to my clients because I couldn't demonstrate them because of the pain I was having. I mean, it was just truly awful. But again, this is a time I want to brag on my husband, because, you know, I moved in with my parents at this point, and you know, every day that I wasn't working or exercising, like, I was at home on the couch, resting or sleeping. And Josh would, he was working 12 to 14 hour days at this point. He worked so hard in Chattanooga, and he would come to me every day and see me. And on the weekends, he would come and he would spend hours, and
he would just sit on the edge of the couch. Like, I would be laying on the couch and I'd be sleeping or watching TV, and he would just be sitting on the edge of the couch next to me. And I remember telling him, Josh, like, go. You can go hang out with your friends or your brother or your family, or go work out. Like, go do some stuff that is fun. Like, I know you don't, like, this isn't fun. I don't expect you to sit here with me. And Josh said, no, this is where I want to be. This is where I'm going to be, here with you. And he just sat on that couch and he played games on his phone, but he never left my side. He never left my side. And again, it just speaks to the person that he is. Because in 2 months of knowing me, I went from the best version of me to quite literally the worst version of me that I've ever known of myself was at this point in my life. And Josh loved me and never left my side through it. And again, he's just that pillar in the ocean. Like I said, he's my rock. So you know, during this pregnancy, I really just didn't want it to be happening. At no point in my pregnancy did I ever feel like, you know, I'm excited about this now. Like, I'm ready for this. At no point did I feel that. And again, these are feelings that I'm so ashamed of having, but it's just the truth. I did not want to be pregnant, and I didn't want this to be happening to me. And I had no connection to her in my stomach. Like, when she moved or, you know, anything, it was like I had no connection to her. And I remember telling Aria's godmother now, but one of my friends at the time, I said, because, you know, she was just like, Megan, you know, when you have this baby, it's going to be so amazing. You're going to be so in love, and, you know, it's going to be so wonderful. And I just remember saying to her, like, honestly, I just hope that happens. I just pray that happens. Because I was really worried, too, that I wasn't going to feel connected to her, even after I had her. And I know that a lot of women feel this way. They feel not connected to their babies when they're in their stomach. But it's also something that we don't talk about, because I knew there were other women that would have killed to be in my position, that would have done anything to be in my position. And I'd even had a client at the time that she was on her knees begging God to have a child, and she couldn't get pregnant. And yet I was pregnant and I didn't want to be. And I had extreme guilt about that. You know, why me? Why am I given this gift of being able to have a baby when I don't even want it? And there are other women that are on their knees praying about it, and they're not able to have a baby. And I'm not here to say, why would God do that? What I'm here to say is, we're in a broken world. We invited sin into this world and it broke it. And so there's a lot of things that just don't make sense. And it's not God's fault. It's our fault. But there just seems some things you can't wrap your head around. And so I had a lot of guilt for a lot of reasons, but that was also one of them. And my whole pregnancy, I just kept feeling like, I was like, my pregnancy is so bad because I'm being punished. Like, I felt like my pregnancy was because I had done something wrong. And I had done something wrong. I had had sex outside of marriage, which I do think is not right. But was it God, you know, coming down and striking me? I don't know. Again, we're in a broken world. I don't know. But all I know is it was a really hard time. And so I get to, you know, 9 months pregnancy or pregnant, and I actually went past my due date, and they induced me. And so I went into the hospital, and I just remember thinking, like, I just really hope that this whole mom thing, like, clicks, because I am not there. I walked into the hospital, and again, this is a thought I'm so ashamed of having,
But this is the thought that I had when I was walking in the hospital. I thought to myself, I just wish this wasn't happening. And again, knowing what I know now and having what I have now, and having Aria, I hate that I had those feelings. I hate that. I hate knowing that there was a time when I didn't see Aria as the beautiful gift from God that she is. And I feel so sad that I had those feelings at one point, even if it was when I hadn't met her yet. I feel guilty about it. But it's just the truth. So I went into the hospital feeling that way and just praying that God would just, that he would make it click for me. So I had Aria, and my pregnancy was a cakewalk compared to my pregnancy, or my delivery was a cakewalk compared to my pregnancy. And they put her on my chest, and of course they're covered in all this white gunk and they look like aliens when they come out. And they laid her on my chest, and I didn't feel that thing right then. It was just kind of like this alien is sitting on my chest, right? And it kind of felt like an out-of-body experience, just like so crazy. Like this thing just came out of my body and is now like a living creature laying on my chest, you know? And they, you know, went and gave her a bath and like wiped all the stuff off. And then they switched me over to maternity room. And, you know, they gave her a bath and cleaned her up, and then they brought her back into me. And I just remember over the course of a couple of days, because I had to stay in the hospital for a couple of days. I just remember over the course of those couple of days just feeling, it was little things like I felt like I wanted to be close to her. And when she would cry, I felt like I wanted to comfort her. And it was just like this weird thing that like was uncontrollable, and it was so innate. And that's when I really learned that, you know, God made women to have children and to take care of them and to nurture them. That's how he designed us, you know, to do that well. And so all I can describe in this moment was that that was happening. It was this innate, this God-designed thing about me that drew me to my child. And by the end of those 2 days, that was it. This was my baby. And I was going to do everything I could to take care of her. So, I want to take a second to say to any woman that may be experiencing this right now, or maybe pregnant, and thinking, I don't want this to happen. I just want to tell you that your child is, if you'll let it, your child will be the best thing that ever happened to you. And it's crazy because this thing that I thought was the worst thing that could ever happen to me and was the worst thing that ever happened to me actually changed my life and saved my life in so many ways. It brought me out of my selfishness and my desire to just have my life be about me. It brought me out of that and into this understanding that there's so much more than you. There's so much more to life than the things that you want and your desires and your feelings. And there's so much more to life than that. And Aria's also been an example to me, or something that has helped me understand that if I love Aria this much, and I'm just a human, imagine how much God loves you and I. As his children, he made us in his own image. If I think I love my child, then how much more does my creator and father love me? And it was just this realization of just like, man, like God wants the best for us because we are his children. He doesn't give us this Bible to just boss us around and tell us everything we can't do. He gave us the Bible as an instruction on how to enjoy life and be fulfilled in your life. He gave us rules and things and guidelines to follow to save us from our own destruction and to save us from our own sin and death. That's why he gave us the Bible. And he gave us his son. His own son that he offered for us. And I think about that, having to offer my child, even if it was to save the world. I don't know if I could have done that, but God did that for us. And Jesus took on the burden of our sins. He took the burden of my sin. And he took it to the cross. And he wiped us clean. And he wiped me clean. And this was the time of my life that I learned that God, no, he doesn't only walk beside you when you're going through something or just in your life. He doesn't just walk beside you hand in hand. He walks in front of you. He walks in front of you and he paves the way because he knows you're going to make sins or you're going to commit sins and you're going to make mistakes. But God walks in front of you and he paves the way, knowing what you're about to do. And he turns it. He can turn it. If you let him, he can turn it into something more beautiful than you could ever imagine. He truly, truly turns beauty from ashes. And that's what he did in my life. And that's what he did through this situation. The thing I thought ruined my life actually saved my life. I am so thankful for where I'm at. Every day, I say, thank you, God, that you let me be Arya's mom. Thank you. I love her so much. God is good. He's always been good. And even if this situation didn't pan out the way that it did, he'd still be good. But I'm just here to encourage you guys today, those of you that are listening or watching, I just want to tell you God is good. He walks in front of you and he loves you. And he turns death to life. That's what he does. And we don't freaking deserve it, but he does it anyways. So I'm sorry, I got emotional. And this topic is always emotional. Whenever I think about Arya, I get emotional because I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for, of course, Arya. I'm thankful for Josh, who is so wonderful. So wonderful. I'm so thankful for my family and my friends that stood by my side in that time. But even more than all of that, I'm so thankful for a merciful and gracious God. And I hope this can encourage one of you today. If you're on the fence about God and what does following him even look like? What does that look like? I don't know about that, but I'm interested. I just want you to reach out. Reach out to me or Sarah, and I don't have all the answers. But I'd love to talk to somebody about Jesus, one of you guys about Jesus. So again, thank you guys so much for joining me today on this episode of Double the Tea, where I spilled all of my own tea. Bye, guys.